and welcome to She Talk, the radio show making a difference in communication. So, join in on the conversation. This is Pillow Talk with Parrish, and I'm your host, Parrish Blair. I am so glad we're here today for another great show.
Hello, guys. Welcome to She Talk Radio. I'm Ruby Johnson, the Lady Tuesday, and this segment is Pillow Talk with Parrish. And Parrish Blair is with us today, live and in living color. Parrish,
hey,
welcome to She Talk.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm feeling happy. I'm happy and full of gratitude and excited. I've been looking forward to today.
I know that there are a few people who are happy to have you on the show. They've been waiting for you. They've been listening
awesome.
To some of your recorded shows, and they've been following you on your page, and they are excited to have you here today.
I just want to tell everyone listening here live and all that come across this audio and have an opportunity to listen to. I'm so thankful that we're connected in the moment, and I'm just appreciative. Anytime anyone stops to look at the posts that I'm putting out there and watch the videos, that means a lot to me because I have a reason why I'm doing that. So every time you stop, you're a part of my dreams coming true.
Right. Now, guys, as you know, the purpose of this first show is to introduce you to Parrish, have a short conversation with her, and then after the commercial break, we'll turn it over to her, and then she'll connect with the listeners, and then she'll tell you what her plans and her visions are for the show. Now, Parrish, this show is your show. You do realize that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I just want to make that clear that I'm putting in place the envelope around everything, but inside of it, that's going to be the content is going to be yours.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity and speaking to the guests. And, you know, I've been hearing through the grapevine that there's a lot of people that are interested and happy about what I'm putting out. But to, you know, have my own show where I can connect and feed the type of information that they're looking for, that's what I'm excited about.
You know, I think that mostly I think people are curious because I believe that a lot of women see your openness and they desire to have that type of freedom. The freedom that you show, I think they want to have that. And I think that that's one of the things that's probably, they're probably looking at you to be able to share your thoughts and your feelings of what made you get to that point to feel so free, to be so open, because I guess for themselves, they gotta discover for them what will allow them to be so free and so open about their sexuality.
Right. Well, the number one thing I can say is what freedom feels like is it feels weightless, it feels light, it feels like you can conquer everything and anything. Nothing can touch you because you're free. You can do whatever you want to do. So trying to find freedom while you're feeling heavy and burdened and worried, that's the wrong energy. We're free inside of ourselves, and you know what freedom feels like. You get a little bit of it, and then you get afraid. On the other side of fear is where the freedom is. So my approach is keeping a very light, energetic conversation around it because you have it in a moment. With me, my freedom came from a lot of unnecessary drama. Everything had to be an Oprah Winfrey story. But now, you know, it's a lot easier because I realize I'm creating all this crap with my thoughts, with my emotions, with my feelings. Let me stop doing that and just focus on what makes me happy. And that is a little bit of freedom in and of itself. When you start only caring about what makes you happy, I know it seems, no way, I'm a mom. I can't, no, my mom's sick or, you know, my cousins need me or whatever you're thinking when I say that. I get it. I have a mom that's, you know, recovering from a stroke. I have four kids. I've got a career. I understand you feel guilty or it doesn't sound right, but think of yourself first, your happiness first, your comfort, your how you feel first, and then see the world. Everything would be completely different. You would see what freedom really is. Everybody has freedom.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I believe that made me get to that point, it's one of the things, is that I was getting older and realizing that this is the only life that I have. You don't get two lives. You get one. And so whatever you're going to do in life, you need to do it. It's not going to be a second chance. And at that point, I stopped worrying about what people thought of me. And I think that's one of the biggest things. People are worried about what people think of you. And yeah. So I think everybody has to find that moment within themselves, that one thing within themselves that pushes them to the point where they are more concerned about what they're trying to do in their life or what they're doing to make themselves happy. Because a lot of people are just not happy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and when you say that they're not happy, when you're talking to the people I'm going to get to know as I, you know, warm up to the audience on a regular basis, where's the unhappiness coming from? Is it coming from relationships? Is it coming from work? Is it health? What is the unhappiness about in most women's lives?
I think knowing the ladies that I have interacted with, also knowing myself, and they can relate to me a lot. I think it's about they hold themselves back for fear of what people will think of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a way, you're kind of like in jail because you're not able to be who you truly want to be.
Yeah. So I think the great thing about Pillow Talk, I think the name is very catchy because that definitely attracts people's attention. But really, my Pillow Talk is to help my sisters, excuse me, lay their head on their pillow every night with peace and excitement about a new tomorrow. And if that's I just wanted a litmus test of this, you know, audience and what's going on in their lives and what kind of information. I talk about living a manifesting lifestyle. I talk about living a self-love lifestyle. So that's what I live. That's what my whole life is about. That's what my journey, my work, everything is. So if you're listening to any of the programming that I'm putting out, it's always going to be teaching you how to live awake and aware in every moment of your day, that you have a choice. You can decide. You can choose. You can choose to care what people think, or you could choose to take that step outside of your comfort zone and realize ain't nobody looking at your butt. Nobody's even thinking about you. They're thinking about their own lives. You're too busy thinking about them thinking about you. You need to just think about you and do what you want to do. And if people are looking, then you were right. People are looking at you. Now do it again. They're looking at you still. Now what do you want to do with them looking at you? Do you want to create an audience? That's the world we're living in today. It's nothing bad. It's kind of just changing the programming of probably being beat down and having things presented in a bad way. I look at everything as a blessing. My aha moment where I decided to live like Ruby decided to live unapologetically is when I died and came back to life. You know, I didn't get, like, she's right. You only get one body, but I got a second chance, and those don't come around very often. And in the process, I realized we are all an expression of God. We're not supposed to be like each other. We're not supposed to have the same butt. We're not supposed to have the same skin. We're not supposed to have the same lifestyle. We're supposed to dance how we feel individually. And that's, again, what my shows are going to always be promoting, promoting you to dance how you feel in your life.
So just to let you guys know, it's not going to be all about sex. Sex will be a part of it, but she just explained that it's just part of it. She will get to sex, but there's a lot of other things. What Paris is doing is, you know, we have a show for each day of the week, and there's a missing part. Part is sex, but then the other part, Paris is bringing into this particular show. She's filling that piece of the puzzle that's missing. So it's not, just to let everyone know and let the guys know, there's not going to be all about sex, but the thing is going to be about who you are on the inside to manifest what's going on the outside. You have control of it.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's going in and out, so I didn't know that you were talking. I'm sorry to interject, but I was going to say, I just wanted to mention too, though, when I talk about sex, my whole philosophy when it comes to who I am authentically is I'm a little bit naughty, but mostly nice. So when I'm not afraid to talk about any topic about sexuality, and in the realm, and as I get to know the audience, I'll understand what you really want to hear. My purpose of talking about sexuality isn't to push people's buttons to, you know, create sensation. That's not the point. So if that's not how I can serve you, write into me. Tell me how I can serve you. And do I have a SheTalk email address, or should I direct them to my email address?
If you give them the SheTalk, pillowtalk@shetalkradio.com,
okay,
that
great.
Will direct it to your email, the same email you got.
All right. So on a regular basis, I'll encourage you to write into me before the shows, especially leading up to my live show, and let me know what kind of information you're interested in. You can do it, you know, kind of anonymously, you know, because some people are concerned about what other people think. So you can do that anonymously. I can find the answers if I don't have them, and I can really serve in every show. You'll really want to make sure that you listen to, whether it's live or recorded, because your answers are going to be in it. The things that you need are going to be there. But if you want to just be entertained by sexuality and you don't have a problem with seeing beautiful images of sexuality in a lighthearted way, that's the kind of energy that I put out in my social media campaign through Instagram and Facebook. So there's lots of different ways you can engage with me, but my main goal for creating sexual energy is because it's the most powerful creative energy we can tap into. So I want to release the stigma and the taboo around women talking openly about sexuality and finding their power in their sexuality. I want to erase that so that we can lighten our load a little bit, you know, and be happy being feminine. And that's a part of being a healthy woman, having a healthy sexuality. And I've met countless women that are in sexless relationships or passionless relationships, or, you know, relationships with, there may be sex, but there's no intimacy. And that's no way to live, you know, if
right.
you want to live a full life. So all of that goes hand in hand. It's not, I don't want my audience to see, oh, we're going to talk about the naughty subject of sex on this time. It's every sex is beautiful. It's just as beautiful as the babies it produces. You know, it's a beautiful thing, and I always want to present it that way. It's just that I want to make sure that I get to, the audience gets to know me and understand, you know, my intentions about talking about sexuality. And while they're doing that, they're going to get great manifesting lifestyle habits along the way. I'll be sharing those and having guests that, some of the guests that are my coaches that help develop me, that are my mentors, have even wanted to contribute information to help the audience in any way. So I'm just excited. I'm excited. I've got my own show in SheTalk.
I am excited, too. I'm looking forward to it for myself because I will be listening. I am in training. I'm still, I haven't gotten where I need to be yet. I do believe that I am headed, I am further along than I used to be, believe me. And most of that freedom happened when I got my divorce. Now, we're not telling anybody to go out there and get a divorce to try to get freedom. I'm just saying that's the way it happened for me. I felt free to explore what's right for me. Okay? Now, I think this is a good point at which we could go ahead and take a quick commercial break. And then
okay.
what I am going to do is I'm going to turn it over to Paris, and she's going to take from there. She's going to run the show from here. Okay? Paris, if you
All
need
right.
anything, you know where I'll be. I'll
All
be
right,
right
Ruby.
Here.
Thank you so much.
Okay, commercial
we'll
break.
We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Ruby Johnson, the Lady Tuesday of SheTalk Radio and Television. And as you know, I speak out against domestic violence on my show. Well, I've been given this privilege on another platform. I will be the guest speaker at the 3rd Annual Celebrity Purple Raindrops and Masquerade Ball. This event will benefit and honor domestic violence victims and survivors. Come out and show your support on October 15th at 6:30 p.m. at the Cleveland L. Denard Conference. Let's be a symphony of voices against the violence.
Are you looking for a wholesome cultural event for the whole family on a Friday night? Then you need to check out the Spoken Word Experience at Kingdom Cafe, located at 2610 Jefferson Street. This event is every fourth Friday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's an open mic event. No cover charge. Just patronize the restaurant. We need spoken word artists, singers, and even comedians. The next event is Friday, August the 26th. For more information, you can reach out to Taomi Ray at www.facebook.com/Taomi3000. Again, that's www.facebook.com/Taomi3000.
Hello, this is Ruby Johnson, the Lady Tuesday, and host of the Real Talk segment of She Talk Radio and Television. I want to encourage you all to tune in every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. All you have to do is call 713-955-0481, or you could listen on any mobile device at blogtalkradio.com/SheTalkRadio. Get in on the conversation, and let's get real.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to She Talk Radio, and this is Pillow Talk with Parrish.
Thank you so much for staying tuned in, and I'm so excited to have, you know, the very first episode or segment here in She Talk through this Pillow Talk format. Before we went to commercial break, I was talking with Ruby, and we were talking about the source of unhappiness for a lot of people that might be listening to the show or that write into She Talk for looking for solutions. And really, I think where Ruby went to is the core, which is people being afraid of what other people think or being afraid to move past fear, whatever that fear might be. And my number one thing I can tell you when it comes to that is everything is on the other side. I see the great quotes on Facebook in the morning and, you know, the really impactful Mind Valley videos and all of those types of things that encourage you and motivate you. But what they're saying is real. On the other side of what you're afraid of, the very thing that you want, that you've been waiting for, that you keep praying for, that you get, you know, you start having anxiety that you'll never have, it's on the other side of you being afraid. And you might think, well, I'm not really afraid of anything in the area that I'm waiting for my blessing to come in. I'm more afraid in this area. Well, the you that's afraid in that area shows up everywhere. So when you conquer the fear in one area of your life, it changes you. It changes you emotionally, energetically, spiritually, everything. So then when you show up in all those other areas in your life, more blessings come in. That's where I get into really emphasizing self-love. I write a regular column for Houston Style Magazine. And if you go to the online copy, my lifestyle series are always going to be found there. One of the ones that I did in the spring was self-love lifestyle. And it was really sharing how important it is for us to love ourselves and how I have so many experiences when I'm doing my love in session. Love in sessions are for people to feel loved and feel filled up. People who deplete themselves, those are usually the people who, you know, have they perform with excellence, you know. Probably let's look at a Ruby, someone like a Ruby who's doing a lot of things for a lot of people. She wakes up every day and she probably has 20 people in line that she's going to be blessing, calling, meeting with or something. And she would probably at some point make the mistake of putting all those things before her happiness, before she sits up in the bed and just takes a deep breath or has a stretching moment or whatever it is that makes her happy in the morning, a bubble bath, whatever it is. Those things are so important. And I'm going to share some examples with you during this show. But when you have that self-love and you feel full, then when you go throughout your day, you can be more aware of when you're depleted. So when people are having a love-in session with me, their only job and focus is to receive. They're not allowed to lift a finger, literally. They can't. If I'm doing a hand massage, if I'm taking their shoes off, they're not allowed to lift up their leg. I do everything. I'm putting them in a space where all they can do is receive. And it's very uncomfortable for some people. Some people just really, they're like, I just need a minute. This feels so weird to my body. It's all kind of sensations firing off. I never have anybody do this. I never allow anyone to do those kind of things for me. And some people get emotional, and some people just have a heart full of gratitude that there's a place where you can go to get filled up when you allowed yourself to get depleted. So in this lifestyle series, I'm focusing on love and manifesting. And the one I did in the spring was about love. And the thing that I saw is how so many times people take for granted that because women are the, you know, the nurturers and we're the moms and we got to be the nurses and the cooks and, you know, all the things that they say, we're Wonder Women and we can do it, that we don't get those Calgon moments, you know. Well, I was in the 70s. I don't know when you guys were born, but the Calgon Take Me Away bath commercials, that's what I'm thinking of, when the woman's like doing everything and she just wants a moment where she can get away. Well, I didn't know that these series of events would turn into me having an audience that's, you know, bursting at the seams of men following me. I've always been a holistic practitioner that namely worked with women. And through social media, everything changed with the visual component. But then I was blessed in that sense because now I get to really understand men. I've really been in long-term relationships most of my life. So I understood the men that I was married to, but not men in general. So now I get a chance to hear what men think and why they say the things that they say and why they do the things they do or don't do the things that we want them to. And it makes sense to me now because I'm not thinking like a woman. I'm not sitting in a room talking to women and us throwing our little hypotheses around and rumors and whatever we think. I'm actually talking to men, and the men I'm talking to, surprisingly, for some women, when they look at what I do on Saturday for Sexy Saturday, they're thinking, oh my goodness, I bet you get all kind of inappropriate pictures and requests and all this. And I'm like, no, actually, I get men that are saying, I want to know how to get my wife to feel comfortable around me to be that open. I want to know what I should do so I can please her. Where can I get toys because she, you know, she wants to masturbate and she doesn't know how. And I mean, they're men, good men, that are trying to find out how to be better men for the women that they love. They are men that are really to the best of their ability. You know, they're doing all the things that you would like to think that they're doing, but instead you're thinking that you automatically think they're doing the wrong thing. And that's where I'm like, I could really serve my sisters because we're sabotaging, and you don't know you are, but you're sabotaging really good relationships with men that, you know, whenever they are doing something that maybe is tiptoeing in the area you don't like, whatever that is, I don't even like to have a lot of dialogue about those kind of things because we bring them about. So the things that you don't like in your relationship, and maybe it's happened in your relationship before multiple times, and you feel like, I don't want that to happen again. So you're looking for it and you're asking them about it and you're checking for it. You want to make sure that they told you the truth about it. Those types of things start closing the man out because he's trying to be a good man and you're clearly saying, prove to me that you are. And nobody wants that job in a relationship, to be the person who it's their job to prove something. They just want to love and enjoy, especially men. They want to make us happy. They want to serve us and take care of us, especially if we're their woman. So what I share in my lifestyle series when it comes to love are the key steps to have self-love. And I'm focusing on the men right now in this conversation because we take for granted that men don't need those getaways as well. And so when they're trying to get it a little bit and go get a drink real quick, and we act like we're going to be mad when they get back and they don't do it then. And then, you know, they were thinking they're going to come home and just veg out and watch TV, and then something breaks down and it's their job to fix it, whatever it is, or they're high level professionals and their unexpected trips that they have to go on, whatever that might be. The men that I talk to and that I serve in a love and session, they're men that really just, they have great wives. It's not that their wife doesn't love them. It's not that they're not having sex, but they don't know how to get out of the habit of putting the family first before them. It's like neither one of the parents, if there are two parents in the family household, it doesn't make you a better parent by treating yourself less for the good of your family. Because if you keep doing that and you start having symptoms of that stress, you know, physical sensations, pain that you didn't used to have, then it develops into arthritis or diabetes or high blood pressure or colon cancer. Now your family has to do without you completely, or they have to do without you lesser than. But if you took that moment at the beginning of the day, took a deep breath, you want to walk, you know, down the, you know, unbeaten path before you have to go out into the world or whatever it is that makes you happy. I'm a proponent and I'm a cheerleader of people doing what really makes them happy, because then when two people are doing what really makes them happy and being all of themselves in a relationship, that's the best relationship. And if you're an individual and that's how you're living your life, you can't have anything but great relationships. whether you're just a person who wants to date and be social, or if you're a person that's looking for the one, you probably are going to be the kind of person who finds them miraculously and in a relatively quick period of time, because you're real clear about who you are and what makes you happy, and that goes out into the universe and you get it back really clear. So, you know, I'm going to always encourage us in every show to look in areas where you can audit yourself and see, and that you're not looking to see if you're doing a bad job. You're looking to see how you feel in certain areas about your life. If you just sat for a moment and just took an emotional audit, how do I feel about my mornings? Is this really, if I could plan the perfect way with my circumstances, plan a better way, let's say not perfect, a better way to start my morning, is there room for me to improve and could I? And if you know deep down in your soul, yes, you can, and you just don't, then do it. And if you say, yes, I can, but there's no way I can, there's always a way. And if you're listening to me, then there's, you know, you manifest in me, and I'm here as a resource. I've helped so many different people in their path of becoming a master manifester or a healer or a teacher, public speaker, whatever their ambitions were. I help them be all of who they say they are. That's my work. I'm here to serve you and being the person that you want to be. So if what you want to be is a more confident woman and more in touch with your sensuality, your sexuality, your spirituality, you want all of that to blend nicely with your professional career and your lifestyle as a mother and all of those things, this is you put yourself in a great place. You've manifested a resource that can give that to you. I'm going to share my lifestyle, which I do through social media. On Facebook, I'm Parrish Michelle Blair. And at Instagram, I think I'm Parrish M. Blair. And I'm also on several other platforms, and I'll share those along the way. But you can look into my lifestyle and see this is genuinely how I'm living my life. I do have books, and I do have workshops and all of those things that complement my message that I put out in my videos. But my main thing is, if you just look at how I'm living, if there's anything that resonates with you that I'm saying, I'm sharing how to do that. And if you just apply it to the best of your ability, your way, you know, there is a science to life. I do believe that, but I don't believe that there's only one way. I believe that there can't be only one way. There's no way it could be only one way, because we're here for our own individual experience. So anytime I share something with you as a lifestyle habit, if it's not something that, you know, resonates with you, or you want to do it differently, then listen to your inner guidance. This is a great place to do that. You're never wrong when you're listening to what makes you feel good. And wanted to just kind of get a gauge of where people are at and what is important to you. I don't know if the segment is going to allow me to invite callers or take questions, but what I would really encourage you to do is write into me at pillowtalk@shetalkradio.com, pillowtalk@shetalkradio.com, and write into me and tell me the things that are important to you, what you want to know. If you want to know more about sexuality and how I got into blending sexuality with my spirituality, we're going to take a break and I'm going to talk about that. If you want to know more manifesting lifestyle strategies so that you can move through your day without getting off track or falling off the wagon when you're trying to think positive, whatever it is, just write into me. If I don't have the answers, I have a huge resource of people and knowledge and information that I can get access to, and I'll find that answer for you. So we're going to take a break, and when I come back, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how my journey started, and specifically as it pertains to how I blended sexuality with spirituality, and I'll tell you some of the things that happened along the way. All right, we'll take a break, and I'll be back.
Four women share the buck-naked truth to the world and free themselves of the burden and the bondage that well-kept, deep, dark secrets create. She Talk Radio presents The Buck-Naked Truth every first Sunday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss a show, and please, tell a friend.
This is Tay Homie Ray, and I'm the host of the Shop Talk segment, the spot where we talk jobs, careers, education, and opportunity. I invite you all to get in on the conversation on Shop Talk, happening every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Central Time. You can call in at 713-955-0481. Again, that's 713-955-0481. Or you can listen on your computer or perhaps your mobile device at blogtalkradio.com/SheTalkRadio. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com/SheTalkRadio. Remember, we have a date every Monday. I'll see you soon.
She Talk Radio and Television is a show created, produced, and hosted by women for women. We are now on Monday through Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. So don't miss your daily dose of She Talk. Call 713-955-0481 or listen at blogtalkradio.com/SheTalkRadio to get in on the conversation. She Talk Radio and Television is giving our young ladies a voice to discuss topics of interest to them. The international search is on. She Talk seeks Girl Talk intern hosts from 11 to 25. For details, email girltalk@shetalkradio.com. We're taking submissions now.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to She Talk Radio, and this is Pillow Talk with Parrish.
Hey, friends. Thank you for coming back. I've got like a frog in my throat for some reason, but I'm so excited to be a part of She Talk Radio. It really is a platform where they're changing, you know, they're making an influence and changing the conversations around sexuality, around empowerment for women, and I'm really happy to contribute my portion. You know, it's like so amazing when I look back on how things have evolved over the last, how many years now? Over 10 years. When I was in my late 30s, I had like been depressed for over 15 years. I was in the holistic health business. I started out as a hairstylist. I'm here in Houston, Texas, and a lot of the well-known celebrities here locally were my clients, and I was innovative back then. I was just a young woman in my early 20s, and I started a business with my mom in my teens. My mother invented something that helped women, and shortly after that, I got married and eloped, and I got into religion, and then my husband I was married to at the time, my first husband, pretty much just took the reins, took over the business, and then that kind of created a breach between me and my mom, and that kind of affected me. And then after my first pregnancy with my son when I was 21, I had the postpartum depression, and then I was already working a lot, and we were building a materialistic lifestyle, and I was under pressure, and I got pregnant again with my second child, which is my daughter. And then right after that, my kids are 14 months apart, I found out I was pregnant with my third son, and all the while, you know, I wasn't missing a beat. I had all my babies at home with a midwife, and I worked up until the ninth month. My work week was about 90 hours worth of work back then. I worked 90 hours a week, and I was about probably 90 hours a month dedicating my life into my religious practice and what I had to do then. So I really did not have a quality of life. I hardly was able to spend time with my babies. I opened up my business at 5:30 in the morning when they were asleep, and I was coming home at 11:30 at night, and I was working, you know, nonstop and just not treating myself well. And I finally just had a break, and I had to just confide in someone, and I went to our congregation and I told them that this is not, I don't feel like God is blessing my efforts. I don't know why. I'm doing everything I think I should do. But, you know, we're saving and helping all these families, but our family, we're not reading the Bible together. We're not spending wholesome time together as a family. We're, you know, when we get a Land Cruiser, then he wants a Mercedes. When we get a Mercedes, then he wants this. And the way our business was set up when I was married to my first husband is he was in marketing and sales, and I had to do the labor. So it was tantamount to a couple opening up a flooring store, and it just so happens the woman is talented, you know, with flooring. So the husband does the marketing and he leaves, and the wife does the manual labor. And that was my life. So every time he's like, you know what? Guess what? I think we need a better car. I think we need a better house. That would, to me, mean less time with my family, less time studying the Bible and doing what I was passionate about doing back then. And so baby after baby, depression spell after depression spell, I just really wanted to give up. And my best friend named Carlette Bradley was living with me during that time. She was in the fourth stage of cancer. And I would go upstairs in the room that she was staying in at the end of the day, and I would confide in her all my my hurts and my pain and the things that I was going through, because nobody knew. I would keep it a secret because my husband was the big elder and everybody adored him, and he helped everybody with all their problems. So if I were to tell them or any of those sisters involved that, you know, it would maybe discourage them or whatever. So I was holding all this pain in for everyone else, which is, again, while on the other side of the commercial break, I was talking about self-love first. You know, I'm saying that from my own personal experiences too. But I would talk to her, and closer to the time where she was really failing, her body was failing her, and we ended up living in a hospice for a month while she went through the death process. We didn't think it was going to take that long, but, you know, during that time, I went through a spiritual transformation, and things started clicking inside of me where I didn't want to die anymore. I wanted to live. I just wanted this life to die, and I didn't know how. And one thing she told me was that if she could just take one thing out of her body before she died and give it to me, and that would be the courage to not feel guilty about being happy, you know, do what makes me happy. Why did I come here? Why am I alive if I don't want to be happy? My happiness, not my happiness that I have because other people are happy, but my own happiness. And I didn't understand what she meant because I was so, you know, depressed and not in a good emotional state back then. But when she passed away and I realized I've got to go back, I never could stop work. I never stopped work. I kept working through everything, through babies, through everything, but I promised her that she wouldn't die alone. So I thought it would be maybe a few days, and the few days turned into a couple of weeks, and then it was a whole month before she passed away in the hospice. But that was a whole month where I interrupted that lifestyle of not loving myself, of not, you know, taking care of myself and taking a break. And so when she passed, I almost had a little weird moment where I didn't want to leave the hospice because I was like, I don't know what else to do now. This has been my pattern. So I don't know what to do if I'm not doing the old life, but I don't want to do the old life again. So the first thing I did is I went to my elder body and I told them, and I'm sharing this with you because I know from what Ruby shared that there's people who, you know, have their religious organizations that they're committed to and that they mean something to you. But even in that, the things I'm going to share is not to bash any religion or that path. It's just to give you things to think about that still keep you centered in self-love so you don't lose yourself in any area of your life. But for me, I was losing myself in my religion and my relationship with my husband, my business, everything. Everything was living except for me. And when I went to them and I confided in them, they were upset with me. They were like, well, if you were so depressed, then why don't you do this? And why don't you do that? And I was like, well, because he tells me not to. And, you know, and one very unusual thing now when I talk about it, it's unusual. Back then, it was so real. What I had to do in order to have a little getaway with a girlfriend, to just have a cup of, you know, Starbucks or something like that, or be able to buy an Oprah Winfrey magazine, or, you know, just get maybe like regular brand cookies instead of, or, you know, like Walmart Oreo brand or something like that, I would kind of have to barter with my husband and say, okay, I'll have oral sex or I'll have anal sex. Or, I mean, he wanted that because he basically wanted me to do what made him happy. It was about his happiness. So if I decided I wanted to do something when I was a young teenager, you know, growing into a 20-something-year-old and everything, it was easy because I didn't know who I was. I didn't have my own desires. His desires were my desires and his interests were my interests. But as I started growing more into a woman and in business and meeting more women in business, my horizons were expanding. And there's things I wanted outside of just his own happiness. I needed our happiness at least. So, you know, for us in our religion, that's the devil. If you're doing anything outside of regular sex, anything to do with oral or anal or pornography, masturbation even, you're entertaining demons. So this is my life now. I'm in a religion that is requiring us to go and preach to our neighbors and go out and preach as a congregation. So I'm looking at myself thinking, God's not blessing my efforts. Everything's going horrible in my life because I'm doing this thing with my husband. And I'm so, you know, and then I can't make him feel guilty. Anytime I would tell him I feel guilty afterwards, he goes, well, you're the one that wanted the magazine. Or you're the one that said you wanted that. I didn't make you. So it was like I was in a real big head trip, you know, kind of like a cult-like religious experience and a very emotionally and mentally controlling relationship. So it was very difficult and challenging for me to figure out what my own happiness was because I wasn't even being a whole person yet. And when I confided in them that I was doing those things, oh boy, that's when everything went the other way. And they were like, well, why were you doing that? You shouldn't have been doing that. Well, you know what the scriptures say. And, you know, and through a series of events, I was excommunicated from that religion and I had to start a new life. Later on, I ran into some former friends that were relatives of some of those people on that board that made the decision that I didn't deserve to be in that religion anymore because I didn't want to follow their rules about staying married to my husband and all those things. They told me that their relative was molesting them, and that was their grandfather. And their father was, you know, drugging them and putting them in porn and selling it. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, these are the men that I'm trusting, you know, my soul. And I trusted God. You know, I did. I was serving God. That's why I was in so much pain. But I really trusted that these men were guiding me in the right direction. And all the while, the reason why I was so upset is something in my gut was telling me, learn God yourself. You know, learn about God yourself. You love studying the Bible. You love waking up early, you know, reading the word and just interpreting it yourself, but then you close down your thoughts so it fits into what the congregation is going to talk about and you don't get to express how you feel, you know. And I would have these little thoughts, but I would shut them down. So at the end, when I realized it's kind of like this was all BS anyway, I could have been doing whatever I wanted to do. You know, I always knew God was with me, but I'd never felt it in this practice that I was forcing myself to do because I wanted to be a good-looking elder's wife and make sure I made my husband look good. I wanted to be a successful businesswoman, so I looked powerful on TV, and I want to be a good mom, and I wanted to be all these facets of who I am, but the real me inside, I never got an opportunity to be that woman. So I said goodbye to that life, and I moved on, and In the process, though, I went through homelessness. I was kind of bullied in the divorce process, and I wasn't a strong woman back then, and I believed that I didn't deserve a penny. So I gave my ex-husband everything, the business, the house, the cars, and then I left with my kids thinking, I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to recreate this all over again, and it's going to be things that I love to do, and that didn't really happen that quickly because I was, you know, not in the best emotional state and I had nothing. And legally I couldn't go out to my clients or he could sue me. I really screwed myself. Even the judge asked me, are you doing this under duress? And I was, but I lied and said, no, you know, it was not a good situation. But because of that journey of going through homelessness, it was such a relief, you know. I was sad and I was ashamed and it was scary and I didn't like it. I wasn't under a bridge, but I pretty much was living in my car and trying to hold on to my dignity and not let anyone know. But I made some really bad choices in my divorce that left me very vulnerable financially, and there was nothing I could do once I signed on the dotted line. And this person wasn't compassionate at all. Even in the process of asking, is there any way you could assist me? Like, you know, you can give me a blowjob. It was like, literally, I don't see him as a bad person. He was the most powerful love teacher in my life because no matter what I did, what he was showing me was stand up and be yourself, stand up and respect yourself, stand up for yourself, you know, be a woman And I was afraid to be a woman around him. I felt like, I don't know why, he felt so powerful. So I'm bringing that up because, again, on the other side of the commercial, we talked about being worried about what other people think. I was very worried about disappointing him. He kind of programmed me to please him. That's my job. So if he wasn't happy, I was really worried about that. I was sneaking. I was making $3,000 to $5,000 a day in my sleep every day in this company that I built. But I would sneak $5 to go get an Oprah Winfrey magazine and, you know, be afraid that he would find out. I was a completely different woman. And when I got to the point where there was nothing that I had, there were no possessions really to worry about, but even the car that I was driving was the old beat up two-door Mazda that he was going to give his daughter for her, like, first, you know, hoopty car. He gave that to me in the divorce. I had some times where, even though there was the, you know, like I talked about before, the embarrassment and all of that, there were times where I was so happy that I could just read a book and I didn't have to worry about paying bills. I didn't have to worry about, you know, my kids were good. I wanted to be with them. But I have the dad schedule now. I have to see them when it's my time. And it was a lot of emotional pain that I went through, but it also was a lot of freedom. That's another time where I tasted freedom. It was a different kind of freedom. Going from being 18 years old and being very, very sheltered and having a very powerful mom that definitely knows what her daughter's doing at every moment. She was a very good mom. Then to going into a very controlling relationship with an older man. I was 19 and he was 27. And then a very kind of controlling religion. And all of those components shaping me as a woman, when I find myself out of a religion who won't even talk to me anymore. So I got to create my own spirituality now. I either got to find another church or whatever I'm going to do. It's up to you now, me, nobody else. You know, there's no more husband anymore. And because I had been kind of pulled away from my mom in that relationship, I wasn't even connected to my mother. So I basically had that feeling of nobody's telling me what to do. I could do whatever I want to do. And I, you know, when you swaddle a baby, and you're about to change their pamper and their arms go out and they shake real quick because they're not used to that. They're used to being in their mother's womb. And then when we swaddle them, that keeps them feeling like that comfort is there. That's how I would feel sometimes. Like, I don't have any clients that I have to do. There's nothing. I just have free time. It was amazingly exciting and scary at the same time. And sometimes I would just get emotional for no reason because I never felt that. I hadn't until that point felt what it felt like to do what I want to do with my time. And so as soon as I felt that feeling, I started designing my life so that it stayed that way. So I wanted to be a successful entrepreneur again. I wanted to build a concept that I loved, but I wanted it to be centered around, you know, that feeling that I have where I feel free. I don't feel trapped. I don't feel like swamped by my clients and all of that. I want to rebuild something that I enjoy. So along the way, I met someone. It was very interesting. I'm kind of skipping around because I'll definitely have lots of time to talk to you and tell you more about whatever it is that you want to know about me. But my second relationship, my most powerful, one of my most powerful love teachers in the lineup is my second husband. And when I met him, it was after I found myself a single mom and pregnant with my last son. And it was really interesting. This relationship ended up being like my sexual teacher. My first teacher taught me power. This teacher taught me my sexual energy because I didn't know that. I wasn't allowed to masturbate. I never masturbated until I met this person, and I was like 34, 35 when I met him. And, you know, and I definitely wasn't sexually satisfied in my first relationship. So this person came in my life and started teaching me about my body. He actually taught me how to masturbate. And right around the time that I started really appreciating my sexuality and exploring everything, I started noticing that I had heavier periods. And I thought, well, maybe it's because I had, you know, I'm in my late 30s and I had my son, maybe my period's changing because I had another baby. It had been 7 years since I had a baby, so I didn't remember my period change. But I got so used to neglecting myself, you know, sisters that are listening, I don't know if you can relate to this, and I hope you can't, because I don't want anybody to have to have gone through this. But if you can, I would say do something about it right away. But what I had advanced to was using like a very large overnight pad, protective padding when you're on your cycle, sanitary napkin, whatever. And then, you know, the kind that looked like a pillow or a boat. I had that. And I would have to use a Super Plus tampon, especially when I was working or any place where I would there would be a lot of pressure that I would feel in my abdomen. And I went like that for a long time. And then one day I just felt like I need to go into the hospital. I don't feel right. And when I went into the hospital, they said, you have no blood in your body. And that happened maybe once or twice. And the last time that it happened, it was right when I was getting ready to launch a show that I was producing. I got a call after my well woman's visit that my tests didn't come out the way that they should have, and that they wanted me to kind of check on some things and get a blood transfusion for a life-saving surgery. And that was like, the biggest thing that I never thought anything like that would happen to me. So I want to stop it there, because as I'm talking about the sexual energy and how that came into my spirituality, the opening up and doing that with my second husband and the experience that I had with the surgery are two strong components. And I really want the women to pay attention to the parts that touch on the health and the well-being and how my spiritual and sexual gifts came in through that. Because if you're having any imbalance, that's also a sign that you have the opportunity for not only healing, but your full energetic power to come into your body as a sexual being, as a sexual goddess, if that's your desire. So I've really enjoyed spending this time with you. I think I went a few minutes over. I'm sorry, but I'm looking forward to going live with you as soon as I can. I'm about to go to Jamaica soon for my Parrish Blair Love Tour. Parrish Blair Love Affair Tour. The next stop is Negril, Jamaica. And I'll be posting about those experiences. And if you have any questions or things you want to see or, you know, anything like that, just write in to me and I'll capture as much as I can while I'm there. I'm sending you love and light. Have a wonderful rest of your Friday and a great weekend. And tune into me on Sexy Saturday on Instagram and Facebook. Namaste.
Well, we've come to the end of another episode of Pillow Talk with Parrish here on She Talk Radio. Thank you so much for making this another wonderful experience. I want to encourage you to continue to participate and practice the methods in your life. And I definitely want to hear from you. Share the results at parrishblair.com and share them with the friends and family in your life. I'm sending you love and light.